We turn to God's Word this morning in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, the text that we consider this morning is verses 19 and 20. 19 and 20. Though we draw from some of the verses following it, in verses 21, 22, and 23, all of which make a section, the conclusion of this epistle. But our focus is verses 19 and 20. Let us read the whole chapter. Hear the word of God. Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We read that far in God's holy word. The text is verses 19 and 20. I'll reread those verses. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we as individuals, as a church and as a denomination have many troubles. I don't have to tell you that. Many burdens that God in His providence has brought upon us. In the midst of such trials, we have the calling to heed His exhortations and His word, to repent of our sins and to press forward faithfully through the troubles to seek to serve Him. And as we seek to do so, we need to hear this blessing of God upon us. For He doesn't call us to face specific trials and burdens without a blessing. With the calling, always, always, always comes the blessing of God for His people. This blessing: My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In the epistle to the Philippians, if you read through the whole epistle, you will notice that the church in Philippi was also a church with troubles and burdens. Although Paul repeatedly through the epistle calls the church of Philippi to rejoice, we read that one verse in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord, and that theme runs through the epistle, yet it was not the case that the Philippians had an easy life and that the church was without issues. If you read through the epistle, you will see that Philippians had problems of disunity. Paul mentions Eudaeus and Syntyche in verse 2, and the disunity that had started from them, women in the church. There were problems in Philippi of pride, and so in chapter 2 we read of how the Philippians needed to humble themselves, be like-minded as Jesus Christ was in humbling Himself for us. There were doctrinal errors. That's why in chapter 3 Paul speaks very sharply to warn them, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, verse 2, beware of the concision, and then speaks about the specific doctrine of experiencing or having confidence in our justification, and that being by faith alone, without works. He addressed a doctrinal issue in the church of Philippi. And with all those exhortations that I mentioned and more, he does not conclude his epistle without this promise and blessing from God. There were difficult troubles, burdens, and callings in Philippi and in this epistle. And with that, God says, through Paul, He shall supply, my God shall supply all your need as you face this. That's the broad context, the immediate context preceding our text. Shows us that Paul is actually commending the Philippians for one positive thing that was going on in the church. And that was the Philippians' liberality. Paul was in prison in Rome. He had been there for about 2 years, suffering much need. And the Philippian church had sent Epaphroditus, their messenger, from Philippi, many, many miles across the seas, to Rome. And there, with one purpose especially, not only to encourage Paul, but to give to Paul a gift, a financial gift, something material to help him in his suffering. And they had given him much. Paul rejoices in this, in the context. He says, well done. Ye have done well, Philippians. Verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate or give benevolently in my affliction. He rejoices not merely in the gift, but in the fact that the Philippians had showed forth the fruit of the gospel in their hearts. As God had given to them, so now they were giving benevolently. But Paul also knows that the Philippians had given not because they had plenty. They didn't have their wallets full when they gave. But they gave in the midst of their own affliction, in their own suffering, in their own poverty. He commends them for that. But he also knows that the Philippians are going to worry about their daily bread. They've emptied their pockets all the more. They're going to be concerned about their financial and physical needs as well moving forward. And so also with regard to physical and financial needs, Paul says in this text to the Philippians, "My God shall supply all your need." All your need. Every single kind of need. We focus on this text this morning under the theme, "My God shall supply all your need." First, the promise. Second, the certainty of that promise. And then finally, the purpose of that promise and the fulfillment of it. First, the promise. The text before us is a powerful promise of God to the church of Philippi and to the church today. I say it is a promise, but it is both a promise and a blessing. Because whatever God promises and speaks with His powerful word is effectual. It comes to pass. He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Lazarus come forth," and Lazarus comes forth. And now He speaks this blessing through a weak means, but He does speak this blessing with His word, this promise. And He supplies your need, not only in the future, but presently now, as you hear Him speak His word. God's promise in this blessing is, "I will supply all your need." But first, let's consider and see that one point of Paul and one point of God is this. You are needy. Philippian Church, First PRC of Holland, Protestant Reformed Churches, you, my people, in all the world, no matter what time you are in, you need to know this. You are a needy people. Of yourselves, you have all kinds of needs. Get that. That needs to sink in more and more through your life. There is never a point in your life, there is never a point in your life as individuals and as churches, never a point where you can say and I can say, now I don't need God as much. I can do it by myself, as a child may say, in his independency. The Lord can pause, as it were, and stop me giving me what I need physically or spiritually or mentally or financially or emotionally. Just, He can stop a little bit, giving me the grace to stand firm on sound doctrine, to have ministers that preach the word and do so with a godly example. All your need, Paul says, that means all kinds of needs, every single one, absolutely, you need God. If you were to withhold emotional strength for one moment, the strongest man here who thinks himself emotionally strong will dissolve into a pool of tears, unable to speak. If he were to withhold mental strength, you would live the rest of your life without the ability to think again. If he were to withhold spiritual grace, you would lose your faith. You would live in doubt and guilt the rest of your life and be in bondage to Satan and sin. Of the worst kind. If you were to withhold physical strength, you would immediately perish. If you were to withhold financial stability, you wouldn't have a penny. In Him we live and move and have our being. We are utterly dependent on Him. with the abundance that we have materially, many of us, and with so many blessings we have enjoyed in the past, and even today in the present, we have taken so much for granted. The young and athletic say, I don't need Him with respect to my health and strength. Well, we don't say it, but we feel it when we feel strong. The smart at school say, I don't need Him for my grades. I can do this and get the A. The holy, or those who feel themselves holy, forget it's only a small beginning and go forth thinking, I don't need Him to obey the commandments. I'm not going to sin like that. What hast thou? 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that thou didst not receive? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, one reason, though it's not the only reason, but one reason that the Lord does take away anything in trial, materially, physically, and is sovereignly even making us to fail spiritually as individuals, as churches, as ministers. One reason, I'm confident of this, is so that you and I may know the simple truth more than ever before, that it may be impressed upon our hearts, I need God. I need Him in every regard, so that we may sing and pray with greater sincerity, needy and sorrowful, to Thee I cry. Let Thy salvation set my soul on high. And the more we recognize our need, and it's a lifetime lesson, the more we will cherish this promise of God and see it for what it is. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. That's the most important phrase in verse 19 and in our text. By Christ Jesus. When our text says, by Christ Jesus, it is talking about two main points. First, by Christ Jesus, the phrase refers to the basis, the reason for God supplying all our need. We can put it this way, for the sake of Christ Jesus, because of Him and because of Him only, we don't deserve any one of our needs to be met. We have no rights. America loves to talk about rights, and we join them so often in our political discussions. But before God, stand before God. You don't merely stand before a government. There's a certain sense in which you have rights in this country, and even in the church. But stand before God, beloved. You have no rights before Him. He may take away everything. You don't deserve, you're not entitled to anything. You are sinners. We are sinners. The only reason that He does and He will supply any one of your needs is not because of your rights to them, but only because Jesus Christ has earned you everything. Our God has seen you, has looked upon you in love through Jesus Christ from eternity. He has elected you unconditionally, not because He saw what you would be, but only because of His grace in Jesus. And then in time He sent this Jesus Christ to empty Himself. That's the point in Philippians 2, when we read in verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and then verse 7, made Himself of no reputation. The point there, made Himself of no reputation, is that Jesus emptied Himself of everything, including His reputation. He had no place to lay His head. He emptied Himself of peace and faced the wrath of God for us. He humbled Himself and took on our needs and felt needy all His life as He was forsaken by His own Father. All to earn, you see, to earn for us what we don't deserve. To suffer the neediness that we should be suffering all through life. Not having His needs met. So that He might gain for us our needs supplied in abundance for us. Because of Him, and only because of Him, we are favorable in God's sight. And in Him, and because of Him, God supplies our every need. And in seeing that, you can see very clearly that this blessing, and any blessing of God, is not for every single person in the whole world. Grace is not common in that sense. But God only supplies all need in His grace to His people in Christ. I said that's the first meaning of that phrase, by Christ Jesus, but our text means more than that. When it says by Christ Jesus, not only does it mean that Christ has earned for us, or it's because of Christ that God supplies all our need, but secondly, it is that Christ Jesus Himself personally supplies that need. Christ Jesus is personally involved in the supply of all our needs. So having earned the supply of all our needs, Jesus Christ then, as it were, takes the needs that He has earned for us and sends them down upon us in His grace. The phrase, by Christ Jesus, is literally in Christ Jesus, and that should bring to mind the familiar but important truth of faith. Paul brings this up repeatedly in Philippians, the ideas of being joined into Jesus Christ by the bond of faith, so that we are like branches of a tree, who are connected to Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. And from the vine Jesus Christ, there flows into the branches all that we need. That's the idea of by Christ Jesus. Grace upon grace. Grace is a power He causes to flow from Himself to us. All our spiritual needs. But as you know, after Christ died, He rose again and ascended into heaven so that from heaven above He is the ruler, the sovereign ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords over all things. And He also governs the entire universe in every circumstance. Prosperity and adversity. For us. By Christ Jesus means He personally is the subject of supplying all our needs. Do you have the need of fighting your besetting sin? Don't seek to go about it yourself. Don't despair and say, I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul says. And Christ with His purity and His Spirit supplies you the need to fight against that besetting sin. To fail, yes, sometimes, but to, by His Spirit, repent of that sin. Do you need comfort? And sorrow, Christ sends His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to give you the peace that passeth understanding as you pray. Do you need forgiveness? Oh, we need forgiveness. The greatest need is that pardon. Pardon of my sin. Not someone else's. That's not my need. That's theirs. But my need, and each one of us must acknowledge it, my greatest need is to know the covering of all my sins. And that you know is by Christ Jesus alone. He gives. He earns. He gives the faith to know it. Do you have financial needs? Needs for mental stability. Needs for physical strength to press on through handicaps and old age and sickness. That's from Christ Jesus too. My God, by Christ Jesus, shall supply all, even the ones not mentioned, all your needs. And that abundantly, the text shows us, abundantly, with the phrase, according to His riches in glory. According to His riches means God will give that which you need in proportion to His riches. That is, His gifts will be consistent with what He has in His riches. It's important to understand the difference between the text saying according to His riches as it does, and the text saying as it does not, out of His riches. God shall supply all your need, not out of His riches or of His riches or from His riches, not that, but according to His riches. And to help you see the difference between that, I give you an illustration. Think of a multimillionaire in the city of New York who wants to give a gift to a poor farmer, maybe out in Ohio. And if he were to give out of his riches or from his riches, that would not necessarily mean much. So that this multimillionaire would maybe dig into his pockets and take out a few dollars and give it to that farmer in Ohio, and he can say, I have given out of my riches. Out of the great wealth that I have, the storehouses that I have, I took a few coins out of my riches I gave. But that's not the point here. The text says according to his riches, which would mean then, that this multimillionaire, if he were to give according to his riches, would make the poor man his friend. He would take the poor man and then he would give to this poor man his friend that which was consistent with the amount that he had to make him a millionaire just as he is a millionaire. But here's the point. Richer than any millionaire, and with riches far more valuable than mere money, God is. He owns all things. Every bit of wealth and all kinds of blessings. He says, mine, all is mine. And I give not a few things out of my riches, but according to my riches. According to my riches I supply. I take my people as my friend, as my sons and daughters, to give them my inheritance as a father does to his children. According to my riches I give him everything. I give her everything. I give that to them. Everything is for them. And though they may not see that all the time, one day they will. And understanding that, according to his riches, now you can understand two other parts of this text. Supply and in glory. In glory, first of all, does not refer to heaven. The promise is not God in the future will give you glory. Though that's true, that's not what the text is saying. Rather, the idea is now. Now, not just when you get to heaven, but now, He will fill your need gloriously. Now, gloriously. And glory refers to all of the blessings that God has, especially all of the attributes that shine forth from His being, all of His virtues, all those riches. He says, according to those riches, I give you gloriously. And then notice the phrase supply. Supply does not merely mean give, but supply means fill up. The idea or the picture is that of a cup, that of yourself, if your heart is like a cup, that cup would be empty. It would have nothing in it. But here's the picture. I will supply, I will fill up, even cause it to overflow. Not drip a little bit. But I will fill up your need gloriously according to His riches, my riches. You see, in the context, the Philippians had been commended by Paul for their liberal giving. And that wasn't fake, it was sincere. But what Paul shows the Philippian church and shows to you who may have given liberally in the offering today is that God is a far more liberal giver than you and every church. In fact, you can't give anything unless He first gives you and causes your cup to run over. And in Jesus Christ, He has. He has given you everything. You belong to Jesus no matter what happens in this whole world and in our church and churches. You have Jesus Christ. You are that prodigal son, needy. You are, and I am. The prodigal son who goes forth, not just one time, but again and again, we've gone forth to the pigsty and sat considering the husks of the pig to eat that because we got nothing left. And God the Father in Jesus Christ embraces you and me and says, I'm yours. I'm still yours. And because you have me in Jesus Christ, you have everything. And even after you've squandered what I've given you in supplying all your needs, you've squandered it. I still supply your every need in my grace because of Christ Jesus. Which brings us to a major application from that word need. God shall supply all your need. Your need. And that word need does not merely indicate that you are needy, as we began the sermon, but that need also shows us the character of that which He supplies. Your needs. In hearing this promise, you might be doubting the truth of the promise because you claim God hasn't supplied all my needs. I can think of all of these different things He hasn't supplied for. How so? Look what just happened to me in my life. And so you must know, not your wants. But we want so much, and He oftentimes gives us what we want. But your needs, that's the promise. I spoke of a cup, which is like your heart, but in your heart there are really two cups. Think of it that way. One labeled needs, and one labeled wants or desires. We confuse the two. Every one of us does. The child of God knows with certainty, by faith, Lord God doesn't supply all my wants. I must say, Thy will, Thy want be done. But I know He has supplied all my needs. And if we find in ourselves doubts regarding this promise because we feel as though God has not supplied our needs, then it's very, very probable. No, it is the case that we have confused our needs and our wants. Regarding need also, recognize, beloved, that we often don't understand our real needs. We think we do. We feel like we do. We convince ourselves that we know our needs. It's not just our desires and wants. We know our needs and God's not supplying it. But you know, God knows your needs better than you know them yourselves. Matthew 6:8, Jesus says, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." If at any point in time in our life, beloved, if we doubt whether God is fulfilling His promise and supplying all our needs, it's time to recognize that what you and I feel and think is our need is not what God in His wisdom deems as our need at the time. Not yet, at least. He may see, and He often sees as our need, the trial for sanctification, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. We may shake our fists at Him and stamp our feet in frustration like a spoiled child, and shout out at Him and say, "You haven't supplied my need." But God so loves us in Jesus Christ that He will not let our tantrums stop Him from doing what we really need. The strengthening of our faith, which is far more precious than of gold which perisheth. 1 Peter 1:7. You face needs, office bearers. You feel inadequate as elders and deacons in this time. That's all right. It's good for you to know. But my God shall supply all your need. You feel empty at the end of the day. You got nothing left. That's all right. You need to know that. You're needy. And His mercies are new every morning to supply your need. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This is certain. It is sure. Even as we speak, God is, by Christ Jesus, sending forth His blessing to supply your need. Remember, His promise is a blessing. Paul emphasizes the certainty of this promise in many different ways in the text and context. I point out a few. Right in the text, you see the future tense. God shall supply all your need. And that "shall" there is not indicating merely that in the future, maybe tomorrow or next year, God will in the future give you what you need. But the "shall" there is to express, to emphasize the certainty of the promise of God. When you make a promise, and when God makes a promise, He uses the future tense. I have, God is saying, I am supplying and I will. And the God who never lies says this promise to His people. Another way He emphasizes the certainty of it is by the word "amen." Notice the word "amen" in verse 20. It comes after the doxology that we'll soon consider in the last point. But that amen is not attached merely to verse 20 in the doxology, but it's attached to verse 19 and the promise. And amen, you know, means truly, or it shall certainly be. My God shall supply all your need. Amen, Paul says, it shall truly, certainly be. So it is with the tense, future tense, with the amen. That's how Paul expresses the certainty of this. It's not merely a wish. And it's not even just a prayer, though it is, of Paul and of the other people in Rome. But it's God, through the office bearer, Paul, speaking this promise. Remember, Paul's an apostle. Apostle means a sent one, sent by Jesus Christ as his representative. So that when Paul speaks this blessing at the end of the epistle, he is indicating Jesus Christ is saying that. Jesus Christ, as it were, with his nail-scarred hands, who has earned all blessing with those sufferings symbolized by his nails, scarred hands, raises his hands now in heaven in a constant benediction upon his people. You see that symbolized at the beginning of the worship service and at the end of the worship service. Don't take that for granted, young people. Don't look at that as an empty sign, but think not of a mere man, but of Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, who stands in heaven above right now, and he speaks his blessing. These words too, my God and Father shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by me, Jesus Christ. Now is that certain? If Jesus said it, and he does, it shall certainly be done. And to help the Philippians in their certainty, Paul makes an additional point, a personal point. Notice the pronoun my. My God shall supply all your need. It doesn't take away from the point I just made that it's Jesus who pronounces this blessing upon his church through Paul as an office bearer, a representative. But in addition to that, Paul also speaks personally. My God. Paul's God. With that pronoun, Paul is confirming his own personal experience. He is saying to the Philippians, you know, and I tell you right now, God has supplied all my needs. I'm in prison. I've been there for 2 years. I've been suffering persecution at the hand of the Jews. I might die tomorrow under trial before Caesar. I might be executed. But you know what? Through all of this, God has supplied my needs. Not only that, I'm a sinner. Dear Philippian church, Paul is saying, I was a persecutor myself of the church of Jesus Christ. I would not have turned in faith. I would have hated Jesus Christ all my life. But Christ has supplied my needs in turning me, in converting me, in appearing to me on the Damascus Road. He has shined the light of the gospel into my heart, and he has forgiven me of all of my sins. He has given me my need of forgiveness, my need of faith, my need of sanctification, all my needs. That's the only reason I can preach. It's the only reason I can write this letter. It's the only reason I can speak to you now and I can say what I'm saying. My God has supplied my need. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now to the Philippians in this text. My God is your God, as he has supplied my need, He will yours as well. That's what a pastor says to his congregation. That's what you office bearers must say to the sheep that God has placed under your care. Have you gone through cancer? Have you gone through trial that others probably know about? Do you suffer right now? And others look on wondering, not sure whether he's going to be able to bear that. Well, you hear the word of God this morning. And you say personally, as Paul says, to the other members of the church then. He has, brother. Can't stand here without him, but he has. My God is your God. As my God has supplied my need, he will supply yours as well. I know it. And God uses that. His word. Spoken personally to confirm the certainty of his promise. For what he does for any of his people and all of his people elsewhere. The person hearing this promise knows he does it for me as well. But that's not the end. Listen to the end. The goal. Is his glory. As a doxology in verse 20. God doesn't supply all our need as a father might in this earth supply all the needs and wants of a spoiled child and say, the end. It's all for you. So you can be happy and feel yourself the center of the world. That's not the goal. We often think of it that way. He's got to supply my need. I got to know it. And then period. No. That's man-centered theology. And that's not what Paul's saying here. Why does he supply all your need? Why does he make you feel needy? So that everything you receive, you know it can't be yourself. It has to be from God. In order that this may happen. Verse 20. Unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever, so that our hearts and our mouths may bring forth praise unto the God of grace, who has been so gracious to us in Jesus Christ. And though we have not always seen it, especially when we're self-centered and self-focused and thinking about all which we feel God has not supplied, He has, glory be to His name. Glory be to His name, and not to the name of man. When the Philippians read this letter and heard it explained by Epaphroditus, whom Paul sent back to Philippi to deliver this letter, they were not to conclude, what a great apostle Paul is. What a good preacher Epaphroditus is in explaining what Paul said. And they were not to conclude, especially, you know, we as a church here in Philippi, we're doing pretty good. Strong and healthy, and we're going to be able to follow what Paul just said, told us to do in this epistle. That would be the opposite end, which Paul had and that the Spirit had. Not for man's glory. Not even for an institution's glory. And beloved, the Lord is teaching us that. He is teaching us that. Not for man's glory. Not for an institute's glory. Or a denomination's glory. Because man... and the institution. We're needy. and God must supply all our needs. And then our hearts and mouths will properly thank Him. Glory be to God, our Father. Our Father, to us who are enemies by nature. Our Father who has taken us, prodigal sons, made us His. Glory to Him now, Paul says. Today too. Today too. Not just tomorrow when I feel like it. Today. Not necessarily with a giddy smile. But today, we can still worship. Glory be to God. Because He has supplied all our needs. Is that your goal? His glory? Now and forever. As a believer, it is. Not my happiness, that's not the goal. Not an easy life, that's not the goal. Not man's reputation, that's not the goal. Not just so I get what I want and need, that's not the goal. I want His name to be glorified no matter what. No matter what happens to me. That's the believer's desire. And if that's your desire by faith, then let the sermon end not merely with my amen, but yours. In your hearts. Your amen means, first, I'm confident it shall truly be that this promise is sure. He is fulfilling it. He is supplying all my need. And secondly, the amen means not just confidence, but sincerity. As He supplies my need, I truly desire with all my heart His glory and His glory alone. Amen. Let's pray. O God, even our Father, for Jesus' sake, we confess we are the prodigal son, straying again and again from Thee, and yet Thou art the one who does turn us back. Thou art the one who gives us faith, working in us both to will and to act, to embrace Jesus Christ, to recognize that we have all our need in Him. Because of Him and by His personal work right now, Thou hast supplied, Thou art supplying, and Thou wilt supply all our need according, not just out of, but according to Thy riches in glory, gloriously. We're full. We know this promise to be sure. We have already tasted the fulfillment of it in many ways. Make Thy goal ours, that we might seek Thy glory and not our own. We confess that even with Thy word and Spirit today, Thou hast supplied all our need. Glory be to Thee and to Jesus Christ, Thy Son. Amen.